רק קפה sur 105fm.ca. Du rock et seulement du rock. Voici Daniel Tremblay. Bonjour et bienvenue à cette émission Rock Café au 104fm.ca. Aujourd'hui, nous recevons deux frères qui font partie du groupe suédois Eclipse, c'est-à-dire Victor et Philip Krusner. Le groupe Eclipse a été formé en 1999 à Stockholm. Leur premier album intitulé The Truth and a Little More a été mis en marché en 2001. A suivi en avril 2004 l'album Second to None. En 2008, on a eu droit à un album intitulé Ready to Rock. Le quatrième album studio est sorti en 2012 et avait pour titre Bleed and Scream. En 2015, nous avons eu droit à Armageddonize. Monumentum est sorti en mars 2017. Et le plus récent ou le dernier album studio est paru en 2019 et avait pour titre Paradigm. On a bien sûr eu en 2020 un album CD double avec DVD qui lui s'appelait Viva la Victoria. Et je vous signale qu'on a bien dit Victoria et non Victoria, puisqu'on a fait un joli petit jeu de mots avec le mot Victoria et le mot tour. Le groupe est présentement en train d'enregistrer un huitième album studio et il devrait sortir, selon les informations que nous possédons, cet automne en 2021. À travers les années, Eclipse est devenu un des groupes rock suédois les plus prolifiques dans le monde de la musique rock en Europe et quelque peu en Amérique aussi. Ils ont d'ailleurs eu le privilège de faire la première partie de groupes tels qu'Aerosmith, Scorpions et Deep Purple. Eclipse est composé de Eric Martinson aux voix et à la guitare, de Magnus Henriksson à la guitare aussi, de Victor Krusner, un de nos invités qui joue la basse, et de son frère Philip Krusner qui lui est à la batterie. On débute donc cette émission en musique comme c'est l'habitude avec la chanson Delirious tirée de l'album Paradigm et on retrouve les deux frères Krusner immédiatement après.
So roll the curtain, roll the credits.
Okay, so we are with Victor and Philip Krusner from Eclipse. Guys, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's Philip here. Really nice talking to you, Dan.
Thank you, same here.
Same here. This is Victor, and it's great fun to speak to some friendly Canadians.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only friendly Canadians, but the huge fans.
That's good. It's thank you.
Okay, so the first question for you would be, if you had to choose one highlight moment for you personally that really made you feel like this is what I always wanted to do, what would it be?
The funny thing is, by the way, it's Philip talking. It's me and Victor, I think we actually have the same story here. Oh. I don't play in any other band. I have a side fun project, you know, but
okay.
I pride myself in just doing one band. The other guys are playing in a bunch of different bands and stuff, but nope, it's only Eclipse for me. But the story, I think it began we watched Metallica in Gothenburg.
Oh.
Me and Victor. When was it? You remember?
2004. 30th of May, 2004. Yeah, yeah.
He's even got the date.
I know.
Right? Apparently, yeah. Psycho, yeah. But at that
the
show,
reason I know is remember... I kept the poster. I kept the poster for all these years, and I found it a few days ago when I was at our parents' house, and it said the 30th of May. Yeah, huh. Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, cool. All right, yeah. All right. But I remember that night, and it's like, remember you and I was looking at each other, and it's like, okay, this is what we got to do. This is what we have to do. And after that, it's pretty much been a one-way street. It's just play. And
yeah,
here we are.
Exactly. And I like Philip said, this is Victor, by the way. Yeah. It's kind of amazing that we share the same story, and still kind of cherish it as highly as we do. Mm-hmm. I think at that early age, I mean, we were barely in our teens, and it has left such a mark, and still to this day, it's like whenever you run out and you play a club gig or you play wherever, you still kind of just feel like you want to, you know, that's what's so cool about it, that to be on stage and entertain people and to meet enthusiasts, I think that is the fuel to the fire, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and at that time when you saw Metallica, did you guys already played instruments?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Victor, again.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. Well, you did. You played drums. I think I was trying out a bunch of different instruments at the time. I really didn't know what to do with. I just knew I wanted to cause a lot of ruckus. Like, I wanted to be loud. I hadn't picked my prime source of, you know, where the volume would come from yet. But I think it was after that that I really, you know, started playing guitar and bass and all that.
Well, is there any other way to listen to or play music loud?
Exactly. That's my question. That's why I picked it. You know, it was a very short list. It was guitar equals loud, bass equals loud.
Alors, on a demandé aux deux frères Krusner à quel moment ils avaient su qu'ils voulaient devenir musiciens de rock. Ils nous ont expliqué que tous les deux avaient eu la même inspiration en même temps lors d'un spectacle de Metallica en 2004. Victor a rajouté que le feu sacré était d'ailleurs toujours présent aujourd'hui. Comme question complémentaire, je leur ai demandé s'ils jouaient déjà d'un instrument à cette époque. Philippe jouait déjà de la batterie. Victor, quant à lui, nous explique qu'il allait choisir la guitare et la basse peu de temps après parce qu'il voulait faire du bruit. Ce à quoi j'ai répondu que c'était la seule façon d'écouter et de jouer du rock de toute façon, soit fort. On poursuit en musique avec la pièce Never Look Back tirée de l'album Monumentum et on revient avec les deux frères Krusner de Eclipse.
Oh,
We're back with Victor and Philip Krusner from Eclipse.
That's it.
All right. So the second question to you guys is, what were your musical influences or idols when you were younger?
All right. So, yeah, this is Victor again. I think that, like we previously said, it was a lot of Metallica, a lot of classic, you know, new wave of British heavy metal bands. We kind of grew up listening to a lot of Thin Lizzy and Judas Priest as well because of parents. Mm-hmm. So coming from a home that already had the hard rock theme planted, I think we kind of just took it from there. And I think what's so amazing, like you just said, Dan, when you're bitten by hard rock or you know, this type of music that we're doing, it's kind of like a rabbit hole. You can just go deeper and deeper and deeper and just find whatever you want and explore new themes and new things. And I think that's what, like, our youth was about a lot. Like, mm-hmm. finding maybe, you know, Metallica and Slayer and then going, you know, that direction and finding all these other bands. And then that kind of led us on the path that we're on today.
What about you, Philip?
Yeah. No, it's pretty much the same thing, of course. I think you're forgetting about Iron Maiden. It's all the classics, of course. Ben, I remember when you talked about discovering new bands and stuff, I always sucked at that. I found it so hard to find new bands. But I remember, since you had the room next to me when we grew up, it's like I was like, "Hey, Victor, you got any new music?" Because I always listen to the same stuff, you know. Yeah, pretty much. You actually always been good at finding new stuff and introducing me to it, and then I got stuck to that and listened to that song for like a month or two, and then I would have to ask you again, "Hey, Victor, got any new stuff?"
Yeah, hopefully I had a new song. Yeah,
hopefully.
No, that's it's funny. And I think there was, like, thinking of it now, I think one of those bands that I found on a whim, like, was a Canadian rock band called Priestess.
Yes, of course.
Oh, yeah.
They had a record called Hello Master that I bought in
Chicago.
And
they had a song called Talk to Her, didn't they?
And they had I Am the Night, Color Me Black was the opening track. And I remember hearing that, like, intro for the first time. I was like, yeah. And then they got really big, and they were part of, like, Guitar Hero or something.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Because I played those games, so.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can play any sort of instrument.
Exactly, video games. That's it.
Oh, oh man, can't live without it.
No, of course, that's it.
We went to, I think it was Chicago, to see a concert there, and didn't they support the main act or something? And then we got the CD from there.
No, that was another band. I don't remember the name of that band, but it was a hardcore show.
Legend. He is legend.
Maybe that was the name of that band, yeah. Because it was, I think we went to see, was it Killswitch Engage and Chimera or something like that?
Oh, yeah. But that wasn't, yeah, that's true. And the band was called He's Legend. Yeah, you're right. Mm. You're right.
I wonder what happened to those guys. Yeah.
I don't know.
I have a sub-question to this one, because you spoke, Victor, about getting, for example, Thin Lizzy from the parents. So I take from that that your parents were listening to rock music, generally speaking, I guess?
Indeed, they did, yeah.
Okay.
Mostly our dad, I think, comes from that.
Okay, because I've always wondered, because my mom, my dad died when I was 2.5, so I didn't really know him. But my mom never listened to any kind of rock music, not even close. And I've always wondered, where in the world did I pick up rock music and love for it? Because it's certainly not from my mom. So it's I wonder if your parents don't listen to it, how do you pick it up and why?
Right. I mean, I think
because for us, it's pretty basic. It's we grew up when we were super tiny, finding, you know, Iron Maiden album covers in the car. And it's like, ooh, this is scary. What's this? And that's the start.
Okay.
And it's from there. But I think besides for me and Victor, people who grew up and their parents don't listen to rock music, then they fall in love with rock music just because their parents don't listen to it, probably.
And because there's so much energy in it as opposed to whatever my mom was listening to.
Yeah.
I think that rebel phase is important too. I think I wanted to go above and beyond Thin Lizzy at many points where I was like 14, 15. And I always loved Lizzy, but I always wanted to find extreme bands that I also knew that my parents didn't like, that I could just have for myself, you know? Yep. So that was equally as important.
Yeah, you're right about that, because one of my first favorite songs in rock music was a song from Styx from the album Equinox that came out in 75, and the title of the song was Born for Adventure. You know, if you read the lyrics, it just fits so perfectly when you're a teen, you know?
That's everything awesome.
That you have to go through, so.
Alors, la deuxième question portait sur les groupes qui ont influencé leur carrière, leur groupe préféré et ceux qu'ils écoutaient étant plus jeunes. Il a beaucoup été question de Metallica, qui semble avoir été le groupe qui les a le plus marqués. Philippe a toutefois ajouté qu'Iron Maiden était certainement l'un des groupes les ayant le plus influencés. Leur amour du rock a commencé avec la musique que leurs parents écoutaient, des groupes comme Thin Lizzy et Judas Priest, par exemple. De là, ils se sont mis à explorer tout ce qu'ils trouvaient de nouveau rock, si on veut, ce qui les a finalement menés à la carrière qu'ils ont choisie. Le plus curieux des deux était Victor, et Philippe, dont la chambre était à côté de celle de Victor, demandait toujours à son frère de lui faire découvrir de nouveaux groupes. On s'est aussi posé la question à savoir qu'est-ce qui pouvait mener quelqu'un à aimer le rock, surtout si les parents, comme les miens, n'en écoutaient pas. Selon eux, c'est entre autres justement pour être différent des parents que l'on se met à écouter ce type de musique. En musique, cette fois, on retrouve le groupe et la chanson « Stand on Your Feet » de l'album « Armageddon Eyes » et on revient avec les frères Krusner tout de suite après.
Try
Vous écoutez l'émission Rock Café avec Daniel Tremblay au 104fm.ca. Du rock et seulement du rock. Okay, so we're back with Victor and Philip Krusner from the band Eclipse. And the third question for you guys is, if you weren't musicians in a band, what kind of work would you have liked to do?
It's Philip talking, and it's a bunch of different jobs that I would like to do, but probably something within the finance department.
Oh, really?
Money. Money talks.
Really?
That's a really weird answer.
Yeah.
That's a really weird answer.
That was probably the only one I didn't expect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I would love to do something within that market. And a stockbroker would be the ultimate, probably.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay.
I didn't know that. But that's cool.
See?
What do you think? Yeah. Like a butcher?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
That's in the horror.
Yeah, something like that. We don't have to talk to people. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
For me, I think I do a lot of video and film as well, and it
is kind of the same thing, Victor. You can't pick that. You can't pick that. It got to be something else than the artsy thing, right? Dan.
Yeah.
Let's try to move away from the, like he says, the artsy thing.
Okay. All right. Then I would work, I would not own, but I would like to, like, work and be a pretty bad pizza, like, baker.
Oh.
That would be cool. I would just make, like, margarita pizzas each day.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds
just
good.
Have, like, one of those, like, yeah, and just have a white, like, very tight t-shirt with a lot of, like, marinara stains on it. That would probably be what I would do. Yeah. If we're out of the arts, that's it. That's my fallback.
Comme troisième question, j'ai demandé aux frères Krusner ce qu'ils auraient aimé faire comme métier ou carrière s'ils n'étaient pas devenus musiciens dans un groupe rock. Philippe nous a surpris, incluant son frère Victor d'ailleurs, en nous disant qu'il aurait aimé travailler dans le monde de la finance, idéalement comme courtier en valeur mobilière. De son côté, Victor a commencé par nous parler de montage vidéo, ce qu'il fait déjà, mais Philippe lui a tout de suite demandé de choisir quelque chose hors du monde des arts, et Victor nous a alors dit qu'il aurait voulu avoir la pizzeria servant la pire pizza au monde. On poursuit en musique, cette fois avec la pièce Bleed and Scream de l'album du même nom, et on revient avec une quatrième question pour les frères Krusner du groupe rock suédois Eclipse. Handle the trail, handle the night. Okay, back with Victor and Philip Krusner from Eclipse. The fourth question for you guys is, last year the band recorded in HD and streamed a live concert from studio, forgive my Swedish there, Randall, I guess, in Stockholm. With the pandemic and the way the market seems to go towards live streaming and pay-per-view and buy songs rather than whole albums and stuff, do you think that that kind of performance, live streaming, may replace one day, God help us, live concerts?
Philip's talking, and no, definitely not. I really think it's going to be a supplement. I think they both can coexist, but it's no way that real traditional classic standard live shows is going to be replaced by anything digital. It's not going to happen. But I think we're going to see a lot more digital, call it shows or special things. I think we're going to see a lot more of that next 5 years. Absolutely.
Right. No, I was about to say, I absolutely agree with you. I don't think it will ever get to that point, because a concert is like, you know, the band is like 25 or 10%, and the rest is all about the vibe of where you are and the people that are in it and the people that you're sharing the experience with. But I do agree with the fact that I think it's a good point to continue to expand on, you know, live streaming or session videos, and taking like, let's say Eclipse would do a live gig on a mountaintop just because it's weird, and then filming that instead of, you know, and making something around that instead. It's cool to take music out of its context or setting and put it somewhere else. And I think that's what it's for, essentially. Rather than, I really, really believe that as soon as this thing is over, and I hope that as soon as it's all safe for everyone to meet again, and that it will be such a great, good run of years ahead of us where people are going to go to concerts, even people that maybe before wouldn't go to as many concerts. But I do think it's such a good necessity and vent in life for performers
I think it seems like all bands and artists has done streaming shows 2020. But let's fast forward 5-10 years. I really don't believe that's gonna look like it did during 2020. I think the audience is going to get way more involved with the show, the digital live stream show. I think the audience is going to be able to, like vote or like a poll on what song do you want the artist to play next, or what guitar should he be playing on that song and that song, you know? I think it's going to be something like that, to involve the audience in another way that's possible live. I think it's going to be something like that.
Yeah.
And that might be cool. Plus, you know, add like Q&As, or you could do you could do a lot of stuff with this, and this is just the beginning. That's what I believe.
Yeah, because there's a couple of bands, if I speak for myself, there's a couple of bands that I had not seen, say, in the last 5 to 10 years, because, like I said at the beginning of our conversation, I'm 60 years old. So after you pass 35, you're sort of caught up in your life, and you probably don't go as often as before to different concerts. But with the advent of the DVD, which really took up, as far as I'm concerned, in the last 5 to 10 years, there are some bands that I had never seen live that once I got the DVD, I just wanted to see them live. It was a must. So I think you guys are right. I don't think that live concerts will ever disappear. They may have to share with DVDs and stuff, but if I'm any good example of what's to come, if there are DVDs and digital stuff, it'll only get people to want to go to concerts even more.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree. And that's a good
yeah, it's a really good thing.
Yeah.
Because before that, there was basically nothing. The only thing you had to go to a concert was the vinyls, which is good. I loved vinyls, but it's still not the same as seeing the band live on your TV screen. And these days they're so big that it's almost like being there. And the perfect example for me is 2 years ago, I discovered the live DVD of Night Ranger in Chicago. And I knew of Night Ranger because that band was part of my early 20s. But I was not that much into it because it wasn't, you know, production-wise, the albums were not that good for my ear anyway. And it wasn't as, I don't know, there was something missing. And when I saw the DVD and I saw them on stage, it was a completely different animal, and suddenly I just wanted to go see them as soon as possible.
Yeah.
No, that's really cool.
It's pretty common that it's like what you hear on the record and what you hear live or see live. It's two very different, different things.
Yeah. Comme quatrième question, j'ai demandé au frère Krusner s'il croyait, avec la pandémie et la tendance de plus en plus grande à acheter des chansons à la pièce ou des DVD ou du contenu en diffusion continue, s'il croyait que les spectacles live seraient appelés à disparaître un jour. Les deux frères s'entendent pour dire que non. Bien sûr, l'ère numérique change la donne un peu, mais on voudra toujours assister à des spectacles en personne pour l'atmosphère et l'énergie qu'on y retrouve. Je leur ai dit que je partageais leur point de vue, leur donnant l'exemple du groupe Night Ranger, que je connais depuis leur début, mais qui me laissait peut-être un peu tiède quant au son que l'on retrouve sur les albums, ce qui avait fait que je n'étais jamais allé les voir en spectacle. Par contre, dès que j'ai vu leur performance sur DVD, j'ai tout de suite su que je voulais aller les voir en personne le plus vite possible. On poursuit en musique avec le groupe Eclipse, et cette fois c'est la chanson The Downfall of Eden tirée de l'album Monumentum, et on retrouve les frères Krusner tout de suite après.
Downfall of Eden. One day you gotta pay the piper.
All right, we're back with Victor and Philip Krusner from Eclipse. Guys, this is the last question for now. And you've heard this before probably 1,000 times. Whenever we finish interviews, it's what can we expect from the upcoming new Eclipse album in 2021?
It's pretty much almost done. I'm actually in the studio right now and recording drums. Yeah, so it's getting closer. I know Victor is going to lay down some bass next week, and this album is. I've said this every time, but this time I meant it every time, but this time I really, really mean it. And this is going to be the best Eclipse album for sure, absolutely. Hands
for, for me, it's this is Victor again. For me, it's very special too. It's obviously my first studio record with Eclipse, and I think that it's also special for the times we're in right now. Kind of, it's a record or a recording process unlike any other recording process I've been a part of before. Mm-hmm. And we've done so much with each song, and try to find new interesting ways and still remaining, you know, staying true to this, the true set, like original sound. It's kind of like, if you think about it, music as having two genres. There's one genre where the music you listen to makes you think about life, and there's one genre where it kind of takes you out of it and just lets you live in a world, the world of the song or the world of the album. And I think that's where we are with this record too. It's a very positive, uplifting record in that sense, and that is really cool. I'm very much looking forward to putting down the last bass tracks next week, like Philip said.
I just think that it's the natural evolution of it. If you listen to the last couple of records, it's been going somewhere.
Yeah,
but we're not there yet. If you know what I mean, and it's one step further down that path. It's if you take the last album, it's called Paradigm. Mm-hmm. It's like Paradigm, but more arena rock, I would say, more rock anthem. We've been talking about rock anthems a lot during this album, and it's just it's bigger, louder, and better, pretty much. It's very melodic, in a good way.
Yeah.
I hope.
And also rediscovering the roots, I would say.
Yeah.
Of hard rock.
Oh, yeah, actually. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
There's a ton of, like, cool, like, I don't know, old school vibes on there, too, that are not necessarily, I don't think people are going to hear them and go, like, oh, that's vintage hard rock. But for us, it is, which is cool.
Okay. Something that's actually really, really it's rare. We have a couple of songs, or at least one song that's going to be really good. That is the chorus is a guitar melody, and I don't know, the only song I can really say that has that is it's not really a song either. It's Black Rose with Thin Lizzy, but that's. Mm-hmm. That's something else.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's we have a lot of guitar melodies. That's really upfront this time.
Yeah, I think it's time to put that to good use. We're playing with two very good guitar players, so it feels like a.
Oh yeah.
No,
I know that. And can we expect it sometimes this summer? I guess if it's almost done.
No, unfortunately not. It's
more like fall.
Yeah, fall, winter, something like that. But we're going to release singles before that. So we actually, was it Saturday? This Saturday, last Saturday, we recorded the video for the first single, which will be released, I would say, in May. So it's not that far.
Ooh, teaser.
Yeah. So that's the first song. It's coming your way. Absolutely. And that's a good one.
And then we'll all be biting our nails until the album comes out.
Hopefully, yeah.
Right.
Hopefully. I think this time, as you asked, we talked about this before. It's where the industry is going is like, releasing one song instead of albums, and people buy one song instead of one album, and pop culture, and of course during this pandemic time, it's I can say you can expect to get a more singles than you see the final full album, but I think you can expect more singles. Absolutely. Okay.
Well, we'll have to leave it at that. So Victor and Philip Krusner from the band Eclipse, I want to thank you so very much for doing this.
Thank you, Dan.
Like I said earlier, it's a dream come true. We'll do this again, that's for sure. I'll give you guys a buzz whenever you're available. We'll have to do a part two of Victor and Krusner.
Thank you so much, Dan. And
see you again soon. Bye-bye. Comme dernière question, j'ai demandé aux frères Krusner à quoi on pouvait s'attendre du prochain album d'Eclipse qui normalement devrait sortir à l'automne ou cet hiver. Philippe nous a dit qu'il terminait présentement les pistes de batterie et Victor, quant à lui, était sur le point d'enregistrer les pistes de basse, ce qui veut dire qu'on aura droit à un premier single, probablement au mois de mai. Et pour ceux et celles qui sont trop impatients, qui ne pourront pas attendre jusqu'à l'automne ou à l'hiver, les deux frères nous ont dit de ne pas nous en faire car plusieurs singles ou simples allaient être mis en marché entre maintenant et la sortie de l'album. On enchaîne en musique pour terminer cette émission avec la chanson Wide Open de l'album Armageddon Eyes et on revient tout de suite après avec la conclusion de ce Rock Café.
Wide Open, la chanson du groupe Eclipse, le groupe rock suédois. On a eu le plaisir de recevoir aujourd'hui les frères Victor et Philip Krusner qui font partie du groupe. On les remercie des millions de fois, ce fut une entrevue fort intéressante et fort agréable. On les retrouvera d'ailleurs lors d'un prochain Rock Café, mais cette fois, on aura plutôt des questions concernant leur groupe préféré, leur chanson préférée. C'est à suivre. Pour l'instant, c'est tout pour le Rock Café d'aujourd'hui. Je vous remercie d'avoir pris le temps de nous prêter l'oreille pendant le temps de cette émission. Et on se retrouve bientôt pour un autre Rock Café au 104FM.ca. Merci et à la prochaine.
La station qui te joue juste du rock, 104FM.ca.